It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. It starts, as always, with the Top 4 at 4. Here's Tucker Harlan.
Thank you, Russell. At number 1, Tennessee basketball has landed another commitment out of the portal in former Charlotte forward Igor Milicic. Milicic averaged 12.8 points and 8.5 rebounds per game, shooting 49% from the field and 37.6% from three for the 49ers.
Igor.
I like having an Igor. That's fun.
World needs more Igors, I've always said. A lot of Igors in hockey through the years. I don't know if that's true, but it just feels true.
Igor?
Yeah. Igor Stravinsky, the Russian composer.
Stravinsky, yeah.
The big Stravinsky guy.
I enjoy a lot of classical music.
There is an Igor in hockey that I just Googled.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
We just sit around drinking cognac and...
Actually, no, it's weird. Sometimes me and Julia will do that. We'll just turn the TV off, listen to some classical music.
What's your go-to? Did you just like pull up Spotify classical?
Yeah, and then I'll remember them. I really like Tchaikovsky.
Oh, like, I love some Tchaikovsky.
Like he's got some bangers.
Peter and the Wolf.
Peter and the Wolf. Swan Lake.
Get into Handel much, Houston?
George Friedrich Handel. Yeah, I like Handel. Mozart, obviously.
Mozart's a party animal.
Yep. Ever seen Amadeus?
The film?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
It's a great
well
movie.
Well done, Tucker.
Had great to take movie. A music history class in high school and watched it.
Yep, that's where I saw it first.
Wolfie, no!
And Salieri just couldn't handle it.
Yeah. Salieri, he was a little bit crazy in the head, wasn't he? A
little bit.
At least according to the movie.
Movie was a little over-dramatized. They were actually really good friends, but still a great movie.
Are we doing the top four, or are we just freewheeling here?
I love
classical. Talking about Igor.
You stopped it. You like classical music?
You did open this can of worms.
I merely inquired. You really like classical music. I don't think I said, you like classical music.
What's your position on Beethoven?
I think a lot of Beethoven stuff hits you really hard right out of the gate. And then it just kind of...
It's boring.
Yeah. Just kind of becomes... Okay. It's not bad. It's just not... It doesn't grab you. But he was also deaf, so... How would he know?
Tucker?
From classical music to A Tale of Two Cities, at number 2, former Tennessee forward Tobe Awaka has found a new home in Arizona. Awaka averaged 5 points and 4.6 rebounds off the bench for the Vols this past season.
You taking Hickman out to dinner yet?
No, I still owe him that.
A waka, waka, waka. I did feel some kind of way when I saw his graphic of him in the
Arizona
uniform.
I didn't like that at all.
We'll be all right, though. We'll be fine. I think we'll be better.
He was our crazy guy, though. It was kind of fun when he'd get to feeling some kind of way out there. Get all in his emotions like he did in Kentucky.
Oh, that was a great moment. Just those eyes. They got so big.
Yeah. Is that the best like Tobe Awaka moment of his Tennessee career?
I don't know. Like you said earlier, like I couldn't remember off the top of my head, but there were several games at the end of the season. If he doesn't show up, we don't win. Some big games.
Big game at Missouri.
Texas in the tournament, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So
at number 3, the Colorado Rockies have called up former Tennessee right fielder, Jordan Beck.
Let's go!
Beck joins Garrett Crochet, Andre Lipsius, Ben Joyce, and Trey Lipscomb as the Vols to make it to the big league under Tony Vitello.
Big Mike Honcho headed to the show.
Yes.
Not only these guys making it, but Crochet, did you see him? He's dealing. Right now. He's throwing just some nasty stuff. Trey Lipscomb's doing a great job. Nick Senzel, not a Vitello guy, but still a Tennessee guy. Had 5 tanks in 5 games.
Here over the next 10 years, we're going to see Vols just all over the big leagues.
Isn't that going to be so much fun? Just dotted.
It's going to be cool, man.
It makes you want to watch Major League Baseball more.
I watch baseball just all the time now. I've just given up on it. To the extent that, I mean, we're talking about the NBA playoffs, which I'm usually getting into this time of year, and I found myself over the – I would just rather watch baseball.
I keep it – there's baseball on – usually once I get home from here, I keep a baseball game on pretty much all night, unless there's just something specific I'm wanting to watch on TV.
And finally, at number four, on the note of the NBA playoffs, Minnesota Timberwolves coach Chris Finch had to be helped off the court last night after a series-clinching win over the Phoenix Suns. Finch ruptured the patella in his right knee after a collision with point guard Mike Conley, who was fouled into Finch by Devin Booker.
Sounds painful.
Not often you hear about a coaching injury.
Head on a swivel over there on the sideline. It can get dangerous. It can get hairy in a hurry. Hairy in a hurry. Thank you, Tucker. Quality top four at four right there. I would also add that Travis Kelce has agreed to a two-year, $34.25 million extension with the Chief today. As Jamal Charles would say, did anybody see that?
63'd.
I felt bad.
I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, when you saw that he has a learning disability and had gotten his start in competitive athletics in the Special Olympics, and everybody was clowning him for really
he was struggling. Graduate of Texas, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that I didn't see people clowning him. I mean, they kind of were, but a lot of people were like, why did the NFL put him up there?
Do you think that somebody in the office, the league office, is just like, oh, yeah, Jamal Charles would be good?
Yeah, he's here. He
just doesn't do any research into it at all.
People think that he's dumb just because he misread that. When he does have – I can't remember what he's got. He's got a – and the reason he ended up in Special Olympics is back in those days, you know, it doesn't seem like that long ago. You'd have a kid like him, and they would just immediately think that he was – what's a – I don't want to get in trouble.
Like special education?
He's
differently abled.
Is that what we're calling it now?
I've heard people say that.
Mentally handicapped. That's what they're calling it when I was a kid. I won't, you know, back when I was young, they were calling it something else.
Yes.
You can't say it all anymore. but a lot of those kids, I mean, we had a football player here who was beloved, and same thing had happened to him. And the teacher figured out that he just had a really horrendous learning disability, some form, rare form of dyslexia. Mm. So,
you think Kelce, sneaky old, 34 years old.
I'm surprised how many years has he got? Now, I know he signed a two-year extension today, right?
But yeah, I'm wondering, is that about what we can expect before he's washed?
Probably. I mean, I thought there was a little bit of rumble in –
yeah.
I mean, he's reached that point in his career where he can see, you know, his brother's retired. He's got, you know, his old lady's there's life after football.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's life with her after football, but there's life with her for now. I think at 34, he's got to look at it like, look, man, I'm part of a dynasty right now. I've got a chance to do something special. Mahomes is much younger, obviously. I've got whatever a couple of years left, and I would think you don't want to have any regrets, man. It's like, how many at this point, he's into legacy building. He's a surefire Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he retires as a Chief, right?
Definitely.
I mean, just,
oh yeah, yeah.
How many rings can you win at this point?
I saw where speaking of the Chiefs, Lewis Riddick had labeled Kamal Haddon is his steal of the draft.
Really?
Going to the Chiefs, and said it was classic vintage Andy Reid and Chiefs to sneaky snake one of the better talents in the draft deep in the sixth round. Anyway, they got Kamal. They got Trey Smith.
No, I saw their overall draft grade. I was looking at a couple just to kind of see. I really wanted to see kind of where the Titans stacked up, and the Titans actually got like an A-, but the Chiefs got an A.
The Chiefs just do it year in and year out now.
Well, I think
the worthy best, pick was so shrewd. Man.
It was so good. I was just that's exactly what I was going to say. And to get Buffalo to give it to you was just, first of all, crazy. Like, if I'm the rest of the NFL, I am furious.
At Buffalo?
Yeah, like, hey, you can't beat him, and now you're going to make sure that nobody can beat him if they get – and Worthy has – he's got some work to do. Like, he's got to make sure he learns the playbook and can actually catch the ball. He had a lot of drops his last 2 years.
But who else did they pick up? Wide receiver? Did they pick up any other wide receivers?
Is that the only one? I thought maybe it was him. They're going to look for free agency.
Feels like they've got a pretty nice history of taking guys that – maybe a little bit questionable commitment. They've almost like replaced the Patriots. Remember the Patriots would always take a character concern in the offseason and then get something out of them. It they feels like the Chiefs value. Are kind of doing that now.
Yeah. Well, part of it is because it's similar to what the Patriots had for so long. They had a guy in Tom Brady you could depend on at quarterback. They have that with Mahomes in Kansas City. So that can kind of cover up any sort of drafting flaws, so to speak.
Yeah, and once the culture's so set, like, you can afford to take a flyer or two. It's like, hey, you're coming here because we think you can help us win, but we know how to win, so you better toe the line and do, you know, what we say.
Well, that and just look how they get guys that outplay where they drafted them. Look how cheap they got Trey Smith for his first contract.
Yep. Took a gamble on him, and it paid off.
They get a bunch of guys on the cheap.
Adam Sparks of KnoxNews.com has compiled a list of potential 2025 NFL draft prospects with Tennessee beyond James Pierce. And there's a couple of guys here who you could definitely see playing their way into draft position. Omar Norman Lott on the defensive line. Brew McCoy, obviously a fifth-year senior. If he has a big year, you got to think he gets drafted.
Sure.
Bryson Eason on the defensive line. A lot of these guys, Norman Lott, Bryson Eason, in that proverbial contract year.
Yeah.
It's like, how bad do you want it?
I feel like Brew could play his way into the first round.
I'll be interested to see what he runs.
Yeah, what he runs, and it's a little bit of a knock. He's just older. He'll be, what, 23?
You think Cooper Mays gets drafted?
I think if he stays healthy this year, he will.
I know K did on the third day a couple years back.
Yeah, I think somebody as versatile as he is.
Javontez Spraggins, another fifth-year guy.
He'll get drafted. Waffle House will get drafted.
I think Waffle House will be a seventh-year senior.
What about Keenan Peely?
If he stays healthy and puts up the numbers, I think he can. Yeah, I think I actually did this during a break a minute ago just looking. I got to like 14, 15 guys that it would not shock me if they got drafted. Now, that would be probably everything going perfectly, but.
I mean, it's what Phil was kind of hinting at. It's been a while since Tennessee's had that big draft where seven or eight guys go, so that would be nice next year. Omari Thomas?
I think he goes, yeah. I think he's got a lot of really good film.
Elijah Simmons, contract year.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a big year for him. Again, another guy, he stays healthy. Yeah, if he stays healthy.
I mean, he'll get a shot at it, maybe undrafted free agent.
I think if he has a big year, he could get drafted just because he's, 6'1", 300 pounds of just absolute muscle machine.
He can just completely clog up the middle of the play.
There's one more here on Sparks' list who is – my pick to click.
Pick to click?
I think I've hinted at this for a little while.
Position?
Wide receiver.
Squirrel?
Nope.
Oh, Dante.
Dante Thornton.
But I have both he and Squirrel as like a, if it goes right, like you have a chance.
I think Dante, finally a year in the system, playing on the outside, finds his home. He's gonna run well, I would say, 4.4. Ish, maybe a little bit faster. You don't know. If he puts it all together, I could see him being drafted highly next year.
Who do you think's got the best chance to have a long career?
Out of all those guys?
Yeah.
I mean, probably Pierce.
I was going to say Brew.
I think I'd go with I don't know why. I think it could be Spraggins. Not saying he'll go first round, second round, but I feel like he's a guy who's just going to be on a roster forever. But I know offensive lineman, that's not like the sexy pick. I think Brew could, just because he's so big and physical, and there's always a need for that in the NFL.
Cooper install hinges on whether he can keep his ankles healthy.
865-288-3131, your number if you want to get on the show. 288-3131, your number to get on the program this afternoon. Coming up, Candace Parker hangs it up after a storied career in women's basketball. I mean, we got to get Cress's thoughts on this. You taught her everything she knew, right? Going up against her as a practice player back in the day.
Precisely.
We get Houston's thoughts on her, and we got a couple of things that we could kick around on. Will it suck? Coming up this afternoon. Stay tuned. A lot to get to. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Is Igor related to Darko?
I don't believe so.
It's two different names there.
It's two different
their last
first name.
Names.
Darko Milicic, right?
I thought that was it. Now
maybe Milicic is like Smith in Croatia.
Yep, it's the same. Darko Milicic. It's even got the things.
What if they're cousins? The accent marks?
Yeah.
Look like the Motley Crue thing?
Yeah.
Regarding Christian Conyers, Brian Hunsucker, the Drive's unofficial fact checker, reminded me of one of those things I knew but I always forget. He can't go to an SEC school, so he cannot. Kentucky's out for him.
Could always go home to Western Kentucky.
He could go to Louisville.
But it's the same thing as the conversation we were having about Tucker Anderson in hour number one, and it's like he could still come here just because he doesn't want to sit on the end of the bench. He's going to go to Utah State. If he plays really well there, there's no transfer rules anymore. So I guess Christian Conyers, if he really wanted to be a Wildcat, he could go play at Western Kentucky. I mean, that might actually be a smart move for him, is to go to a school of that ilk, of that level, where he can walk right in and play, as opposed to going to another Power 5 school where he might.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Go somewhere and play, show that you can play, and then if you show that you can play, you can go to Kentucky if that's where you want to go. Or you could go to Alabama if you're that good. I mean, it really is bizarre how, you know, the schools can use the players, but the players can really use the schools as well right now. And it's just at some point, it feels like there's going to be some rules here.
Eventually.
There's really not any rules right now as far as the transfers, but I don't know, man. Until they get some new league set up with, a more quote-unquote professional model where you're sharing the revenues a little bit more with these players and they are getting paid like pros. I don't know that you can have rules because they keep suing.
Yeah.
And the NCAA keeps losing. Did you guys see where the Florida Attorney General is suing the ACC so that you can see the TV contract?
Whoa. Wow.
Really?
Yeah, it's basically an open records lawsuit. Oh, yeah. And I'd never thought of it. Like, apparently you can't see those TV contracts are not public. And with the ACC, I'm not sure if the SEC is the same way. It probably is. But the only way you can see the ACC TV contract, which is what's holding Florida State and Clemson hostage, essentially, they can't get out of that league, is the only way you can see it is you have to be with the member institution, so you have to be the Florida State president or somebody.
AD.
And you can go to Charlotte and look at it at the league's office, but you have to read it. It's like the Scientology documents. You can read it there, but you can't make copies.
Can't leave.
No.
It's like an FBI file. Well, I'm sure that the ACC will be successful in court.
which is weird, right? Why do we keep that secret? You see everybody's contract. You see players' contracts, coaches' contracts.
I think it would be more in the schools more than the TV end of it. I think probably if you just right off the cuff, knee-jerk reaction, probably because they don't want anybody to know how much money they're raking in.
Yeah, I mean,
because they aren't paying their employees.
If you really want the answer, you may not actually want the answer, but I think that's what it is.
They
say
look.
This is the number, but then turns out this is and it would not surprise me if that number is actually lower or a lot higher. I'm just saying, like, you know, fib the numbers, try to raise the value, but that's why they don't want anybody to know.
They don't want anybody knowing how, you know, what they're making.
Well, I mean, we know generally. I mean, they released that. They thump their chests about it. It's like, hey, this is a $2 billion deal over 10 years or whatever that the SEC is signing up for with ESPN and ABC.
That may not be what the contract actually says.
What do you think it says?
I don't know.
Is it a numbers thing, or is there like is there some secret language about, all right, we all have to meet once a year under a full moon?
No.
Out in the clearing with
dark ropes. The most likely explanation is there's some funny stuff with that money, and they don't want anybody to know about it. Mm-hmm. Probably because it'd make them look really, really bad.
I don't know.
Even worse than they do.
I mean, you might
do.
Be right. My knee-jerk reaction would be it's like a competitive thing. Like, they don't want that Big Ten schools.
Buy that, too.
They don't want to know.
There could be a little bit of both.
But the Florida's suing for that. And so the thought is if that comes out, that it could open the door for the SEC one to come out as well. Because they're – the attorney general is basically filing this lawsuit on behalf of Florida State, but obviously they represent several different conferences. In that
could
state.
Happen for college athletics. It would be more sunshine. Let the sun shine in. Open all the windows, all the doors. Let's see everything. It's the next step towards getting where we want to be with rules.
I don't know. Can we handle the truth?
I can.
I don't know if I'll like it, but I think I could handle it. Well, let's mix it up.
You talk to somebody who listens coast
fun.
To coast every night for years.
Bill says they don't want anybody to know how much in commissions the brokers of the deal are taking. I don't care about that. I mean, everybody's got to get paid, right? Everybody got to have their hand in the cookie jar. Ain't nobody working for free in this world. Except the players up until recently.
Only the people, making the money for all those years and years. But the scholarship, they have a scholarship.
That's true. They do have a scholarship. All right. It's Candace Parker hanging it up after all these years, ending an illustrious career in the WNBA and setting up a lucrative broadcasting career, I'm sure, going forward. She'd been at it for a long time, man. I'll be honest. I
how old is she now?
I did not realize that she was still playing. Of course, the WNBA is not exactly on our radar, but every time I see her, she's on TV, and she does fantastic at that.
I thought she was already retired. That's why I
think she's
30. So
she's a year older than me, so I think she's 38.
Did you let her beat you in one-on-one?
What do you mean, let?
Yeah, but are you aware of the caliber of athlete? At 6'4 and a half? Did you just roll your eyes at Candace Parker? What's the matter with you?
She's a year older than you. I feel like you should have.
I just want the record to show before whatever is about to happen happens that I honestly, in my show notes, this is I wanted to give Houston an opportunity to talk about Candace. We have a unique tie to the program in Houston Crest here. I wanted to shine the light on her and properly honor Candace Parker here before Bear does whatever he's about to do, whatever misogynistic rant is about to happen here. I want you, the listening audience, to know that was not my intention, 100%. I have known better? Perhaps.
Probably.
Definitely. But here we are, and I apologize. That's all.
I'll say this. So I got to spend three years with her. She was there when I got to campus, and then she left before my senior year. Obviously, she left early to go to the WNBA. As you can imagine, a lot of players, and it doesn't really matter.
Was she the first to leave early?
Yeah. Yeah, she was.
Huh. In this day and age, I mean, it's the Caitlin Clark conversation.
Yeah, yeah. If I'm not mistaken, she was the first to do that. Then I think maybe Sylvia Fowles did it for LSU like a year or two later. But no, she was the first. A lot of players have ego. And when you're playing at the time, right, you think about, you know, Tennessee Lady Vols basketball. It would have shocked no one if Candace Parker came in and had an ego. Best player in the country, number one overall recruit, coming to play at Tennessee, coming to play for Coach Summit. She is one of the most humble, kind, and hardworking people I have ever met in my entire life. I've had a chance to see her a few times when she's been back in town as they, you know, raise her jersey or banners or awards or whatever. She's legit, and she's so good, and she's so talented, and she had a plan, you know, for basketball and then after basketball, and now I guess it's her decision to move on to that after basketball piece. And knowing her as long as I have zero doubt that she will be incredibly successful, because she's too smart to not have set herself up, and she's too good of a person to not be aligned well. I mean, you see her on, you know, Inside the NBA on TNT. She's doing stuff with Jay Wright and the college basketball and CBI. She's good at it. It's not like, oh yeah, the girls players up there and she's okay. Like, no, she's a professional. She's really, really good at what she does. She always has been, and I'm sure she continue to will be.
Feels kind of Peyton-esque. You know, you talk about the person that rose to the top of their sport, to the top of their game, and all the accolades. And if there is a person that has, I don't say a right, but perhaps a reason to be a little conceited, a little arrogant, a little full of themselves, it would be Candace Parker, Peyton Manning, but still loves coming home and still as much as you can be when you have that level of fame, being a quote-unquote normal person.
And I'm curious to see now, you know, if she's not playing, what she kind of dives into first, because I'm thinking I would not be surprised if she's around the program a lot more in the next couple of years, just because she's going to have some more time to do that. I mean, she set herself up to where I think she's in Chicago right now. That's obviously where she's from. She's played in Vegas, Chicago, and LA, and then obviously played here. So she's got options as to where she wants to call
set
home.
Set up, yeah.
Yeah, but hopefully she'll
where
be.
Where was she from originally?
Naperville.
Chicago?
Mm-hmm, just outside of Chicago.
Two-time national champion here. Two-time gold medal winner. We won't get into
probably
what should happened.
Should have been three.
2016.
Yeah.
Number one overall pick in 2008, three-time WNBA world champion, seven-time All-Star, 10-time All-WNBA team.
She won, like, what, five to seven, like those Russian championships.
Oh, really? I didn't even know how many she'd won over there.
I think that's what I read yesterday. So, is she the GOAT women's player all time? Tell me who's better than her. Are you taking over her?
I'm biased. At her position as a point four through, I mean, really, she's a 1-5 player. When she was here, she could play any position.
What do you, I mean, in this conversation, you get into comparing eras, which is difficult in the men's game, really difficult in the women's game. It's like, you know, how good was Cheryl Miller, really?
Right, yeah.
And Lisa Leslie, really. I mean, they played in a time where there just really wasn't professional women's basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, they probably would have been better today if they came up at this time.
I would say the two best I've ever seen play are Candace Parker, and as much as it pains me, I thought Diana Taurasi was a hell of a player for UConn.
Never saw her play.
Couldn't stand her, but she just played the game differently.
Now, Shamiqua?
Yeah, I think she's up there. That was right before I really started watching.
Oh, Shamiqua, when she came in, like, that was different. That was different because we'd seen some good players. Bridget Gordon was probably the best player Tennessee had up until then, but Shamiqua was the first one. It was like, not to go down this road, but it's like, she kind of plays like a dude.
Like a guy, yeah. Now, that's how I felt about Taurasi. just the quickness, athleticism. Now, no, she's not jumping up and dunking at, you know, 6'1" or whatever she is, but she was just a great all-around player. It's funny, like the Shamequa years, I remember going to those games and going to those Final Fours with my family, but I guess I wasn't as locked into the game and the basketball aspect. I was more just like, I'm here to, you know, hang out with my parents and hopefully Tennessee.
Go to the concession stand. Have fun.
You have fun, yeah.
Run around the arena.
Go to the, you know, Six Flags on the off day type of thing. That, you know, yeah. The fun stuff.
865-288-3131. Your number if you want to get on the program this afternoon, 288-3131. Big weekend for Tony Vitello and the Basevols as they pick up the sweep. And Jordan Beck, Mike Honcho, called up to the Rockies today. Big goings on for Tennessee baseball. Football team has guys going in the portal, guys going in the draft, and now we kind of begin the countdown to kickoff, official off-season talking points mode here on Fan Run Radio. Quick timeout. We'll come back and hit on all those things. Plus, will it suck? We'll look at the big screen, and we'll look at the world of junk food when we continue. Stay with us. It is The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, Russell Bear, Houston and Tucker, cruising with you on a Monday afternoon edition of the show. Talking all things Tennessee sports and the NFL draft. Anything else, any other draft takes, surprises, standouts?
We didn't talk about the big shocker of the draft, which was why the hell did Atlanta pay Kirk Cousins $100 million and then draft a 24-year-old quarterback?
No, I think I heard Cowherd say on the way in today, it's not a 4 or 5 year league anymore. They're projecting, they're saying that Cousins is going to be the guy, but it's a 2 or 3 year league. You've got a short window to get something done, which I think makes it more exciting. But particularly if you're Raheem Morris and the GM there, new guys on the job, it's like,
why would you just not taking Dallas Turner? That was the perfect spot for him.
Strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah, Cowherd last week brought up a pretty good point, too. He said last year in the NFL, 66 different quarterbacks took a snap. So having an insurance policy at that position is valuable. And
I guess
maybe,
I didn't want to ever go through the whole Desmond Ritter thing again. But
well,
again,
but it's kind of weird, though. Like,
desperately need.
If you stink, you get a better pick. Like, you know, I don't know.
You desperately need, like, help. They need somebody like Dallas Turner. That's everybody thought they were going to draft, the quarterback killer. It's guys like him, the reason that 66 different quarterbacks are taking snaps. You want to do that to everybody else in your division.
I do feel better, and I'm not a Falcons fan, but I do feel better about their future under Michael Penix than Ritter. I never saw the Ritter.
I didn't either.
So I do think Penix can be good. But I also think Cousins can be good for more than just 2 years. And there's something you do when you make a move like that. You're sending a message to your organization, and you don't have to say it, but the message is sent to every player, every coach in that building, which is this Cousins thing is only temporary, and this is what we're going to be doing soon with Michael Penix. And I don't know if that creates a good mindset as far as winning now. It's like you're rebuilding.
Yeah, and why are you investing that much money? I mean, he's the second highest paid quarterback ever.
Yeah, well, we'll find out if it works for them or not. All right, gentlemen, it is time to play one of our favorite games here on the show. It's a little thing we like to call Will It Suck?
It's time for
Will It Suck?
It's time for
Will It Suck?
It's time for
Will It Suck?
Disney has dropped a teaser for its new film, Mufasa the Lion King. a prequel for the studio's 2019 photorealistic version of the 1994 animated classic, The Lion King.
Say that whole mouthful again. It's a prequel.
It's a prequel to The Lion King.
Is it going to be animated?
No.
It's going to be live action?
Yeah.
Did anyone see the newest live action one?
No.
No.
Me neither.
Tucker?
I like my Disney with animation.
It's okay if you saw it. Nobody's going to
see it. No.
He'll make fun of you.
I kind of want to see it.
I'm not. I saw The Lion King in the theater.
So it's the story of Mufasa.
Yeah.
I got to admit, I'm kind of intrigued.
Is Jeremy Irons going to reprise his role as Scar?
Ooh, yeah, that'd be good.
Mufasa's
that would get me
evil
in,
brother.
Actually. Long live the king.
Aaron Pierre will voice Mufasa, Kelvin Harrison Jr., Mads Mikkelsen.
It's not James Earl Jones, I don't care.
I like Mads Mikkelsen.
Simba.
It is Disney and it is new. It'll probably suck, but I am intrigued.
It's a good concept. They should make it. They should do a cartoon.
I do like the concept a lot.
Yeah.
You just do a cartoon.
That's my issue with it. I was going to say no, but then I heard live action and then just immediately jumps to suck.
I saw the live action Jungle Book. I thought it was pretty good.
I think it's going to suck as well.
I think it's going to suck. Everything Disney has done the last 10 years or so has sucked. They've gotten really woke. It feels like that stuff might be... They might be chilling on some of that because of all the pushback against it, but this has obviously been in development for a long time.
I wonder if this guy... You heard what happened over the weekend. There was a breach.
Breach.
At Disney, and all their, for like the past 20 years, stuff that they haven't released. Like somebody got in, I don't know, under a server or something, but apparently has released everything that Disney had that they hadn't released.
What do you mean? Like,
really?
Movies, or just ideas on paper?
No.
Just everything?
Like, yeah.
Huh. Seems highly illegal. All right, so out of the time for that one, let's get, we're unanimous, that's going to say. You're intrigued, Houston.
I'm intrigued.
You want to say it's.
But I think it'll probably suck, I am intrigued.
All right. So unanimous, the new Lion King Mufasa movie will suck. What about this one? The newest Oreo mashup is out. You see this in the stores, right? They've got different kinds of Oreos. They put the Heath bars in Oreos, put the gummy bears in Oreos, put the Oreos in Oreos. A new limited edition Oreo Sour Patch Kid cookie. They're available for pre-order starting Wednesday. Sour Patch Kid Oreos. Will it suck?
100%. Excuse me, 100%. Be like eating
You just gagged at the thought of thinking about it.
I mean, it'd be like putting mayonnaise on your spaghetti and meat sauce.
Oh,
two things that don't go together.
That's even worse.
That's awful.
I mean, it's disgusting sounding. I am intrigued by the Heath Bar Oreos. Big Heath Bar fan. You like the Brickle, Houston?
Love a good Heath Bar.
You like a good Brickle?
I actually had a mini Sonic Blast with Heath in it this weekend.
That sounds good.
Very good.
But yeah, this Oreo is going to suck hard.
I don't know, man. I love Oreos. And I love Sour Patch Kids. True. I mean, my first thought is, man, that doesn't sound like a great combo. But I'm not going to dismiss it out of hand.
You going to try it?
I'm not going to go out of my way to buy Oreo Sour Patch Kids. But I feel like it would be a good segment on the show if we bring some in here and we all try one and just kind of give our honest feedback on it.
I don't think I'd buy like the big pack of these.
No.
But the little like four stacker in the gas station,
yeah.
I'd try it. Have you seen on their website you can buy like sweatsuits featuring the
Oreo Sour Patch Kids?
Yes.
Sweatsuits?
They have bucket hats, fanny packs.
Well, we got to get some of those.
Bear, would you rock a Sour Patch Kids Oreo sweatsuit?
No.
What if I throw in the socks?
No.
Bucket hat?
Fanny pack.
A good bucket hat.
Fanny pack.
No, I'm not a fanny pack guy. I'd be more Russ's speed there. Might have a little bit more success with him, Houston.
It's not a purse. It's a satchel.
It's European. All right. Well, you
intriguing.
Say it's going to suck.
No, it's going to suck hard. Horrible.
Do you like Sour Patch Kids?
No.
Okay.
I know this isn't in the spirit of the game, but I'm going to try and find some nuance here. I don't think it's going to suck, but I don't think it's going to be good either.
It's going to be something that you'll eat, not hate, but never eat again, is my guess.
I'm with Bear on this one. I'm not actually a Sour Patch Kids enthusiast. I'm not hating on Sour Patch Kids here, but...
Are those things as sour as like the Warheads?
Oh, no. Not as sour.
You're not familiar with Sour Patch Kids?
Mm-mm.
Oh, elite candy.
They're good. Great just movie elite. Candy.
Oh, yeah.
I always like the hot tamales.
I'm going to go through a whole box. Sitting there just picking out on the Sour Patch Kids. You have the watermelon Sour Patch Kids.
Mm.
Oh.
I've heard those are supposed to be the best.
They're very, very good. It's the only flavor in the bag, but it's worth it.
Something's got to come off the list today, by the way.
Oh.
We'll see.
Let's finish this, and I just don't want to forget it.
I'm done, unless you have any other Sour Patch Oreo comments.
No, they're going to suck hard. I can't believe I'm going to say the Cinnamon Toast Crunch needs to come off the list. I've found a use for it. It's incredible.
What do you mean?
A use.
All right, what use is it?
Other than cereal?
It's food.
And did you consume it?
Yes.
Okay.
You sprinkle it on vanilla ice cream.
I mean,
put a little caramel on there.
Sounds good.
That does sound
really good,
like a whole kind of churro thing going on.
Yeah. It's also good in milk.
No, it's not. The flavor, like you can watch the flavor leave the squares, and it's like eating cardboard.
I don't know if it can come off the list then.
It's coming off the list.
If you can't eat it the way it's meant to be eaten.
The only way I don't eat it is with milk. It makes for a garbage breakfast cereal. It's very versatile.
This is just such a terrible
thing. In other forms. Like when I bought that box, I didn't come over to your house and sling it in your front yard. How I ended up eating it was just straight out of the box. Well, you simped for it for months and months. And finally, I was like, Russ, really into this stuff. I'm going to finally give it a try. For just went ahead and got it instead of my tried and true breakfast cereal.
We have a...
Peanut butter Cap'n Crunch.
It can't be... Here's the thing about Cinnamon Toast Crunch and whatever... peanut butter Cap'n Crunch?
It is a goat breakfast.
It is an elite.
Sweet and
it's elite.
I'm just like, once you get to be a certain age, say 12, I feel like these cereals.
Why are you throwing shade? You're the one who's still Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but it's not breakfast. It's like dessert. It's a 10 o'clock, that wife and kids have gone to bed, and I'm going to eat two bowls.
That is when cereal
just
is
back
best.
To back. There's breakfast cereal to me is like Grape Nuts or, something with
granola
raisins
crunch.
And bran. And, stuff that gets the system
Ruffage
moving.
Fiber,
gut,
shall we say.
Yeah.
And then there's
Lucky Charms.
It's cereal. Yeah. It's like, it's basically
so what's
dessert.
What's the most, have you ever just harked down a whole box of breakfast cereal or like, cereal
have
night?
I ever eaten an entire box of breakfast cereal? Is that what you're asking? No, I cannot say that I have.
No.
Ever in my life.
Numerous times.
Is it always
peanut butter Cap'n Crunch?
Mm-hmm.
Usually
with milk.
There's certain
you sit there with a bowl of milk and just keep refilling your bowl until the box is gone. How many bowls are in a box? At least a dozen, right?
No, those little skinny boxes.
Bowl are you using for that? Are you just pouring it in the sink directly?
I've got like a pretty, it's a pretty good sized bowl, but there's certain cereals you don't want to do that with. Like any type of like real cereal, like what Russ was talking, Cheerios.
Fruity Pebbles
Cheerios.
Was always a good one.
Never liked Fruity Pebbles.
Really?
Never liked it.
Apple Jacks?
Loved Apple Jacks.
Fruit Loops?
Do you know
love Fruit Loops?
That Apple Jacks, there's no difference between or Fruit Loops. Color has nothing. Do they all taste the same?
I've heard that. That it's all a mental. Same with the Skittles, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that tastes different on a Skittle is the paint. But it's not even taste. It's just smell. Hmm. Artificial smell.
Mm.
It's 90% of taste. Bet you can taste a lot with that schnoz, Russ.
So,
Personal taste appearance is not show fodder.
The
he called me old earlier.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Should we acquiesce to Bear's demand that it be taken off the list, despite the fact that he still thinks it's for some reason dry, it's fine.
And how, or on ice cream.
Or on ice cream, it's fine. But with milk, the way a cereal is meant, I've got a problem with that.
I mean, we could do an on-camera experiment with it. I will show you what happens. Like, as soon as you pour the milk on it, all flavor leaves those flakes.
You got to eat it quickly. You don't want to
soggy. Yeah.
But that's a lot of cereals are like that. Yeah, I have a problem with this. Kress, Tucker?
It's close.
Yeah, I think the fact that you aren't eating it the way it's intended, that may
but
have
I'm eating it,
it.
I'm eating it in multiple forms. So.
By the way, we actually
and
have,
enjoying
we
it.
Have a request to add something to the list in the Discord, the 37 Club Discord, fanny packs.
Fanny packs are not awesome. The only people like fanny packs are dorks.
Who was Brian Johnson, AC/DC, infamously a big fanny pack guy.
Really?
Isn't there a picture of George or Kobe or somebody in a fanny pack too?
Yeah, wasn't Kobe in a fanny pack with like a Tennessee jersey on or something?
Look, I'm not. Fanny packs are a weird look. They're just, I don't know. I feel like, first of all, where are you going to wear a fanny pack? You're going to wear it to the ball game? You're going to wear it to, you're on vacation, you're going to an amusement park or something like that with the family to keep your stuff in it? I feel like that would be uncomfortable.
I mean, pretty much the fanny packs, when they first, because I was alive when they first came out, and quickly everybody's dad had one, and it was the dorkiest thing that you could ever think about putting on your body.
Yeah, but when something becomes so dorky and then you reinsert it, it can kind of become cool. Like, I feel like if we started wearing fanny packs around, like, we might, you know, people might start.
Think we're trendsetters?
I don't know. Maybe. I might have been like 10 years ago. I don't know if I could get away with it now.
So dorky that you could do what now?
Kind of make it cool again. Or make it cool for the first time. Like
almost an ironic,
yes,
cool thing.
There's hope for Marcus.
They're very useful. Like they're practical.
You wear one, don't you?
No, I don't own a fanny pack, but I'm thinking about it.
You put your Sour Patch Oreos in there.
On the water for an afternoon snack.
Stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up on many of these fan-run affiliates. Back with more right after this.